Good morning, Delaware. It's another beautiful Friday morning in Delaware. We have been so lucky with doing these outside story times that the weather has cooperated so well, and it looks like it's going to cooperate again today. So delightful. I hope you're having a great weekend and looking forward to the fair and everything. But Nicole, you're doing a little moonlighting for WDLR now, helping with their PSA, are there station identifications and things?
You know, when the radio station tells me that they want this sultry voice, I can't say no.
You mean it's not the lady from Matthews?
I could pick out my Bronx accent.
It's a secret, George.
If she's that woman, I'm in big trouble. I just know it's going to show up at a manager's meeting someday. Speaking of library managers, our guest today is Molly Myers-Labady, our deputy director. Hey, Molly.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
I'm glad you're here. It's always fun when Molly's our guest. So, and we're going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons and cosplay and Great Geek Fest and all sorts of fun stuff.
All things nerdy.
All things nerdy, yes. All right. So, Nicole, what you been reading, listening to, binging on, whatever?
Well, my thing that I'm going to talk about this week might make you a little uncomfortable, and it's because it's called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. It's by Emmanuel Acho. Have you heard of this at all?
I have not yet.
Mm-hmm. This is Emmanuel Acho. Let me tell you a little bit about him if you don't know him. If you follow sports, you might know him. Sorry, Molly.
Go sports ball!
he played in the NFL. He played for the Browns and the Eagles. There was like a little stint with the Giants, but mostly, you know, his very first team was the Browns. So if you're an Ohio, you know, football fan, you might know his
football.
Name.
Thank you. I needed that clue.
Football. NFL. There we go. National Football League. I know that much. you might also know him because he hosted the 25th season kind of like post-show special of The Bachelor. Ooh. So that might be another place, you know, different audience that you might know him from. He did go on to be a Fox Sports analyst for a little bit, but he really has risen to fame since the summer of 2020 when he started a YouTube mini-series called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. This YouTube mini-series actually just won itself a Creative Arts Emmy, and that is for the Outstanding Short-Form Nonfiction or a Reality Series. There are a ton of videos on Emmanuel Acho's channel on the YouTube and you know they range from one that was posted a year ago that has 3 million views with Matthew McConaughey. Ooh. To one that was posted a week ago that also has 3 million views with Lil Wayne.
Was McConaughey talking about Marshall by any chance? Because he flies in still to go to the Marshall games.
Oh, probably. I haven't watched all of them. but there are also people on there like Chip and Joanna Gaines, and they brought their whole family on. So basically what he does in these kind of short form YouTube series, is that he talks with people about uncomfortable conversations about race, uncomfortable conversations about hot topics in present America. And then he has taken then all of those conversations that he's had on that YouTube channel, and then he's made a book. And the book came out later that year, came out in November of 2020. And so it's just been a really interesting kind of way to see his progression in this kind of like outspoken, you know, a lot of people say, you're a football player. Why are you talking about politics? You're a football player. Why are you telling me about race and different things like that? But when you actually sit down and listen to some of the things that he has to say, one thing that I just heard him mention in a podcast is that he knows his end goal. Like, he says that sometimes there are people who try to make political statements and then they don't realize where that's going to take them, and they don't realize where their end goal is. Colin Kaepernick probably never had any idea where his life was going to go after he took that knee, you know? Mm-hmm. And the same with the tennis player, Naomi Osaka. Mm-hmm. She probably didn't know where she was going to go after she made that statement, I'm not going to talk to the media right now because I'm not feeling it. Mm-hmm. he makes the statement that he's like, I know where I want to go with this. I have a goal. I have a plan. I have a trajectory. I know how I'm going to get there, and I know how my words are going to get me there. It's a very, very interesting way to hear him speak. Most recently, he was on a podcast hosted by my favorite Instagrammer ever, Sharon McMahon from the Sharon Says So podcast. And they just have this really frank conversation, and it's a lot of fun. So I would recommend if you're interested in anything that I just said, that you check out any of them. If you prefer like a YouTube, you know, go and find, you know, if you're not interested in Emmanuel, then go and check out his interview because of Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
If you're not interested in him, go and check out his interview because you love Magnolia and Chip and Joanna Gaines. Or find him on a podcast or something like that, or read the book. It's all very fascinating. And, it's a frank, kind conversation. He always leads with love. That's where he starts every conversation. He always wants to know the root. And not the present thing that's being said. You know, yes, you might be angry now, but what's the root of it? So it's a really, really interesting thing. So I would recommend it.
Great. Thank you.
Excellent.
Molly, you're always in reading or looking at some interesting stuff. So what do you got?
Well, once again, I'm actually really sad to say this one's not Outlander.
Oh,
I've run out of new Outlander. So in between, I also brought a nonfiction to talk about, slightly different topic. My book is Drunk, How We Sipped, Danced, and Stumbled Our Way to Civilization by Edward Slinger. Slingerland. Slingerland, it was a hard name.
That's a name.
So what I love about this book is I got it because it's about drinking. And those who know me know that I do enjoy a good beer. And I will try about any kind of beer. Sorry, George. All flavors welcome. My favorite right now is a white peanut butter stout.
Yes.
God.
So I was drawn.
What an insult to good beer.
Oh, it was such a good beer. It was like drinking a Reese's cup.
Then what? Drink the damn Reese's cup.
Yes.
Don't mix it with your beer.
How do you drink a Reese's cup?
You should try it.
Leave it in your car sometime when it's 90 degrees outside.
Ye of little faith.
I believe you, Molly.
Thank you. I knew somebody here. So I picked this up because I was drawn to it in a bookstore. And of course, what I do in a bookstore is pull up the library app.
Uh-huh.
And I immediately check it out. And
which is why you've been banned from
Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. They haven't caught on yet. I think they think I'm comparing prices. Nope.
Well, in a way you are, yeah.
It's free.
Yeah.
So this book, I started it, and at first I was a little disappointed because he's like, let's talk about the evolutionary reasons to drink. There are zero. There is nothing about drinking that evolutionary kept us living. It slows our responses so the tiger can eat us.
Yeah.
It makes us, you know, sometimes argue so we're alone in the wilderness. It... You know, all these things about why it's so wrong. And I'm like, did I get the wrong book? And then he goes, but fun facts are here. So people did not start farming to grow bread. People started farming because they wanted beer.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes you through the history of drinking, how we would eat fruit that fell and then fermented because we wanted to get drunk. And then he gets into the science of it. And he talks about how, you know, not when you're slam drunk, but if you've had a beer, you're more likely to be creative. There are studies that prove, you know, that after class college drinking group actually creates more creativity with a beer.
Hmm.
Now, the more you add, you know, throwing up together does not actually bond you.
It's reductive.
It's reductive. There is the, you know, we don't think about how high our alcohol content became in modern times compared to the 0.2, 0.4 that alcohol was. But we also make up excuses to drink. We really...
Like New Year's Eve.
Well,
St. Patrick's Day.
When we said that they always drank ale in medieval times because there was no other option, that wasn't true. They just wanted to drink ale. I think about if I drank ale all the time, how bad I'd feel. But he talks you through not only, I mean, mainly alcohol, but he even gets into mind-altering drugs and the effects they have and some of the changes. He talks about the problems of alcohol, alcoholism, how our modern society is losing the point of some of this as well. But it was a pleasure. I found myself laughing and going, wait, what? About the history of the world with alcohol. So, Drunk, How We Sipped, Danced, and Stumbled Our Way into Civilization. I suggest it for anybody.
That sounds great. Thanks.
You're not going to tackle that last name again?
by Edward Slingerland. Edward Slingerland. I'm sorry, Mr. Slingerland, if you're listening.
Well, I did fiction this week. This was recommended to me by Joyce. She saw a review of it in the newspaper, got a copy of it, felt it just said, you are going to love this book. You are going to love this book. And she was right. I love this book. This book is called Razorblade Tears. It's by a man named S.A. Cosby, C-O-S-B-Y. It came out this summer, July 2021. It's his third book. His last book, called Blacktop Wasteland, was a New York Times notable book and one of NPR's best books of 2020. This is a hard-boiled noir of the first order, but it's also a coming-of-age story for two very different middle-aged men, one African-American, one white. Ike and Buddy Lee, they're thrown together by a shared tragedy. Their only sons, who were a married couple, have been brutally murdered. And they don't think the police are doing very much about it. So Ike and Buddy, they're carrying an extra load of grief and guilt because they have each rejected their son for being gay and for not following the lifestyle that they wanted. Now, Ike and Buddy Lee have something else in common. They're both ex-cons. And they've missed a big chunk of their son's growing up because of being in prison. Now, Ike has made a successful post-prison life for himself and rebuilding his relationship with his wife, building a landscaping business, and then reluctantly adopting his granddaughter, who is the biological child of the two of them with a surrogate. But Buddy Lee hasn't. He's a drunk. He's a small-time grifter. He's got nothing in his life except right now a lot of anger. So Buddy Lee really wants revenge, and he tries to get Ike involved. And Ike says, "No, let the cops handle it. I don't want to have anything to do with messing up my good life." And then their son's gravestone is desecrated, and Ike gets it. Just pushes him over the edge. So Ike and Buddy Lee throw in together to find out what happened to their sons, who killed them. And along the way, they kind of grow and they change as people, but it is a very bloody trail of character development. And this is, it's really firmly in the hard-boiled noir tradition, but Cosby writes with this poetic grace and elegance without skimping on the surprising plot twists and things like that. And he also manages to work in some social commentary into the story really seamlessly, which doesn't usually work in mystery novels. But in this case, it works really well. So this book is strongly recommended for people who like their heroes strong but flawed, and people who aren't really squeamish about a high body count and even and even higher tension. There are some plot twists in there that just blew me away as I was reading the book. It is kind of a nail biter and very, very... It's just the right length, too. It's like 300 pages. Mm-hmm. You can't think of anything that should have been added or anything that should have been taken out. It is just a well-told story right from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. So, again, S.A. Cosby, Razorblade Tears. That's just the title. This is phrases used very early in the book to refer to when one of the characters actually breaks down about his son's death. Mm-hmm. That it's not just tears, it's razor blade tears.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful image.
It's a beautiful image, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I like I said, if you like noir, if you like hard-boiled mysteries, don't miss this. It's Joyce and I keep casting it as a movie because it'll make a great movie. And she sees Forrest Whitaker as Ike, and I see Steve Buscemi as Buddy Lee. So anyway, we'll see what happens when they actually cast it. So anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We're going to be talking about the Great Geek Fest. We're going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons and cosplay and all sorts of fun stuff and some big Friends events that are coming up. So please stay tuned. Good morning and welcome back to Off the Shelf. Thanks again to our friends at the library. They've got some great events coming up really soon. A week from Sunday, September 26th, they are having a members appreciation picnic in our Imagination Garden at Orange Library. If you are a member of the Friends, you should have already gotten an invitation to this. If you are not a member of the Friends and you're interested in attending, join the Friends and we'll be happy to invite you.
And I can give a special plug for a special group that'll be there to provide some entertainment.
And what special group is that?
The Delaware Community Chorus.
Yay!
We're going to sing Disney songs.
And we're going to does not love those.
We are going to be dedicating the new gazebo, which was funded in part by the Friends and in part by a very generous donation from a member of the public. And we are going to be doing that. So that's Sunday, September 26th from 1 to 3. They've got a book sale coming up on October 15th and 16th at the Delaware Library Garage. And on the 16th, just the 16th, they'll be doing a DVD and CD sale in the community room at Delaware. And then on Saturday, November 6th, a book sale at Orange. I'm sure we'll have Karen or Brad in here to talk about those sales coming up someday very soon. So we appreciate the Friends' assistance as always. And thank them for their support for the show and for everything they do for the library. So, Molly, so you're becoming a D&D? You're going to become a dungeon master?
No, not a dungeon master. But I have been brought in as the beginner once again for Dungeons & Dragons, which fits because I haven't played since last year.
Oh, perfect. Just dust off the old Dungeons & Dragons dice.
It is. Well, it means that my husband, who is a dungeon master and loves to teach Dungeons & Dragons and has a second coffee table in our living room just filled with Dungeons & Dragons books and dice and,
lucky,
and rolling trays and things
you.
I didn't know we needed that I've been informed we needed. Last night to teach me, he went upstairs, changed his shirt, put on a Dungeons & Dragons shirt, got a new Dungeons & Dragons hat out, and then came to, oh, and he's got a necklace with a 20-sided dice on it. So I was trained with somebody who was ready.
That's like getting your catechism lessons from the Pope.
It was a lot. And I kept looking at him like, I'm pretty tired. And he's like, one more thing. Let's talk about your spells.
So, okay. So for some people who are listening who think that you're just talking about witchcraft and medieval wizardry here.
Yes.
What?
And drinking, if you heard the first half of the show.
This is a very PG-13 show today.
Yes.
What is Dungeons & Dragons and who is it for?
Dungeons & Dragons is considered a role-playing game. It's really for anyone. I like to call it an imagination game. Mm-hmm. What it really is really fun storytelling that you have dice that help you tell you where you're going to go in that. The Dungeon Master kind of creates an overall outline that nobody knows. And as the story starts to evolve, people are playing, you're finding out if, you know, I'll say something like, I'm going to attack that troll coming at us with my thorn whip. Ooh, they're going to be so proud of me. I remember the name of that. My thorn whip. And they're going to say, okay, what does it say on your card? You need a roll for using your thorn whip. And then I use a certain dice and I roll that and it tells me whether I beat that. Did I say ogre? Whatever
troll.
That thing
troll.
Was. Troll.
Yeah, troll.
Did I beat that troll? See, this is why I'm the beginner. And so it's really about pretend play for adults, which I've been reading in a lot of creativity books. We should not have stopped.
Yes.
Pretend play and storytelling is such an important part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take that story wherever you want. This is played by everyone. My husband started playing when he was probably about 8, 9, or 10.
Wow.
He has been playing pretty straightforward, maybe a couple years drought. During the pandemic, he tried to teach me once. It is a little hard when you're married. because I had another friend tell me to throw the magic mushroom into the darkness. I had no idea what that was. But if you scream it at your husband all the time and he keeps saying, you don't have one, you're not even a character who can play it, it becomes really fun for you.
He's
and
highly
then if
insulted.
You accidentally tell his boss to do that anytime he's off on a tangent on something, you can get in trouble real fast. So, yeah.
Well, okay, so tell us then, why are we talking about Dungeons & Dragons in particular today?
This is the really fun part. So, as part of our Geek Fest, which is an amazing program we put on every year, we have, starting last year and this year, done sort of a staff Dungeons & Dragons that people can live stream. When they first asked me, and I clearly was clueless to do this, I was like, okay, my husband and like four other people are going to watch this.
Right.
No.
Oh, it's huge.
People love watching this. It's storytelling. What am I thinking? It's like watching theater, really, that you don't know where it's going to go with all these twists and turns. And so we do this with the staff. I'll tell you what I can this year, but I'm not going to spoil anything because I will definitely get in trouble with the Dungeon Master if I tell all of our secrets. But I will tell you that we have a really well planned crew of people who are going to be doing this. It's going to be live streamed. We're going to be costumed. There may or may not be cat ears on me.
Oh, okay.
There will be. That was maybe a term of my group, you know, to be in this.
Yeah.
And the second they're like, you can wear your cat ears, I'm like, I'm in. There will be some really fun excitement and energy. There's going to be a map you can follow along to see where we are in our travels. It's a lot of fun. If you've never seen D&D played before or you have misconceptions about it, this is a great time to kind of see what it is. It's just fun. We're all laughing. It's congenial. We're working as a team. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of games that have you practice working as a team.
No,
but
most games are competitive.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, last time we played, I kept saying, I won with a bag of kittens. And they kept going, we all won with your bag of kittens. And yes, I destroyed the evil enemy with a bag of kittens.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So all of this can be streamed Saturday, October 9th
yes.
on the library's YouTube page, which you can search for The DCDL, T-H-E-D-C-D-L. You can go ahead and you can subscribe to the library's YouTube page now. And if you do subscribe to the YouTube page now, you will get a live notification the minute that we go live on that Saturday, October 9th. There is a lot more happening that day, too.
Oh, so much.
There's the cosplay contest. There is
a story time with Frozen, Anna from Frozen.
Princesses, amazing. So it really is a virtual event of our traditional Great Geek Fest Comic Con.
I have to mention, I can't wait for the Geeky Spelling Bee.
Yeah, I heard that's new this year.
That is really exciting to me.
Is that going to be like, can you spell?
It's like Hogwarts. Mordor.
Okay.
Mordor. You know,
okay.
We're going to look at all of our favorite geekdoms,
uh-huh.
and there are going to be words on how to spell all the different,
you know,
things from everything from Star Wars to Lord of the Rings to your Harry Potters.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So even though it's happening virtual on the library's YouTube channel, again, The DCDL, go ahead and subscribe now. There are interactive elements to it. I mean, the chat will mm-hmm. be live all day long. We use an amazing platform called StreamYard. So that it's an integration of both live and pre-recorded events, and it's so much fun.
Oh, I am so excited. Ready to get my geek on.
Chat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I tell everyone, I was geek before that was chic.
And we're going to mention real quickly that if you're interested in cosplay, but you've never done it, we have one more of our cosplays with Miss Megan.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be at Orange tomorrow. That's Saturday. So if you're listening Sunday, you missed it. But it's tomorrow, Saturday at from 2 to 3. If I put my glasses on, I can actually read it. Make sure I've got that right. Yes, 2 to 3 at the Orange Branson's Cosplay Basics. And Miss Megan will help you learn about what cosplay is and how to perhaps have a prize-winning costume.
That's amazing.
For our cosplay at GeekFest.
And it's really easy to do cosplay this year, too, because it's a digital submission. So
yes.
You make your costume now, take a picture, take a good picture in it, and then submit it on our online form, DelawareLibrary.org/GGF for Great Geek Fest. And you can submit that before October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It's going to be hard to beat my crazy cat lady from a few years ago.
That was a good one.
Of course you
or crazy, no, triple lady.
The tribbles.
Yeah.
But you, of course, as a staff member, you weren't qualified
I
to
was
win
not.
A prize.
No, so. But the tribbles did add all day long.
They did, yes. They kept multiplying like they are want to do.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. Is there anything else real quickly that you've got that we're going to, with any big events? I mean,
nope.
I do want to mention Storytime is back.
Yep.
Check out our events page, DelawareLibrary.org/events,
mm-hmm.
and see what we're doing. But we are going forward with the story times and outdoors for safety. And looks like we're going to continue that through the first 2 weeks of October, mm-hmm. as long as the weather holds. And then we'll make a decision about where we're going from there.
And that PAL 1 has shifted over to Adventure Park.
Right, mm-hmm. Yes. That's
otherwise,
important.
You just check our website. Go to the website.
Right. Go to the website.
All right. Thanks, Molly. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have you as a guest.
Always happy to be here.
And I just want to say hi, George and Eileen. We're great. It's been fun having you as house guests, and we'll see you soon. So that was my personal message that I got in here. And thank you, Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, as always, great working with you behind the board there.
My pleasure.
And we will see you in the stacks.